Spoke with mom early this morning. My mother is still in Florida for another month, and she was at the sunrise mass on the beach, on the ocean, which is where she is. And I said, well, it's just like Toledo, only different. The first day of the week, the gospel announces in grand fashion, day one, the Greek literally says, there's a familiarity to that formulation, isn't there? The first day, day one. It takes us all the way back to the very beginning of the scriptures, to the book of Genesis itself. There is an unmistakable connection known to the early Christian community. They would not have missed this. It would be like me explaining something today, but beginning with the phrase 47 years ago. Immediately making connections with a different historical person and time to emphasize something about today. What I'm getting at is, let's not water down what is happening in the resurrection of Jesus. Let's resist temptations to domesticate our Lord and to make him nothing more than a myth. This is real, and this is bold, and this is extraordinary. It's seismic. It's a new beginning. The evangelist John is proclaiming that this isn't just mere story. This is bold proclamation of a new beginning that impacts all people for all time. And that new beginning is related to Jesus of Nazareth, who suffered, who died, and now is risen. It's at the heart of the Christian proclamation. And the description continues in John chapter 20, verse 1. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. There's a couple of parents here present who understand that time of day. Today, it was early in the morning but still dark when you were awakened from your sleep, I'm sure, by some excited children. But John does more than simply provide gripping narrative. He always has levels of theology and spirituality. It's early in the morning and still dark. Early in the morning that there's right demonstration of faith, that there's emerging belief. But at the same time, it's still dark. It's still imperfect. It's still under construction. Gosh, I so get that. There are moments when my belief and my faith is strong. It's fervent. And then there are other times it's not as strong. It's not as fervent, and I'm relying particularly on the help of trusted friends to bolster my faith. Early in the morning, while it's still dark, I find it so descriptive of our daily experience. Sometimes it can be like that throughout the day. And then we are introduced to a character, Mary Magdalene. Now, I want you to imagine if we were watching the movie, this is towards the end of the movie, right? John chapter 20. And we would recognize the character of Mary Magdalene because we saw her earlier in the movie. And we remember that she was one who was immersed in darkness, overwhelmed by temptations, discouraged and miserable from bad choices that had been made, and she felt utterly and completely trapped and alone until she encountered Jesus along the way, who healed her of her maladies, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And she joins the band of followers, the disciples of Jesus. So she's a friend, and she's making her way to the tomb, and the stone's been removed. Now, she wasn't going to the tomb expecting resurrection at all. In fact, none of the apostles were expecting it at this moment. In fact, she's hysterical. She thinks that the body has been stolen. That's what she reports to Peter and to the beloved disciple John. It wasn't enough that they tortured him and massacred him and killed him. Now they're desecrating the body even further. Peter and John make their way to the tomb. They set out to the tomb. This is a very different response from Peter, who a few days later had a very different directional heading. in the face of uncertainty and danger. Just a couple of days ago, it was a cock crowing twice, reminding Peter of a fulfillment of prophecy that he had denied the Lord three times. Peter was not at the cross. In fact, 11 of the 12 apostles are not at the cross of Jesus. That there is a fleeing from danger that is evident even among the apostles themselves. But Peter's responding differently in this moment, like a first responder, not fleeing from the danger and the uncertainty, but dashing right into it, not knowing what they were going to encounter, but allowing themselves to be led in a supernatural way. The natural reaction is getting out of there. The supernatural reaction is being led by God. And then did you catch that curious detail? Do you happen to catch this? They ran together, verse 4, but the other disciple, John, running faster than Peter, reached the tomb first. What an interesting detail. Now, there was a priest who once said to me, well, it's simple, Peter was older. Well, you know what? I take offense to that today. And then there are some other characters, the best they can offer is, well, you see, Peter, he had trouble with his impulses, including his eating impulse. So he was eating far too many things that he shouldn't have been eating. And that's why he was slower in this race. This is John's gospel. We can do a whole lot better than that, can't we? But it's a detail that's given, so it's instructional. We were just talking about how Peter responded very differently just a few days earlier. And all of a sudden, as they're running, I wonder if Peter is beginning to recall moments that were not his best. And suddenly thinking, what if it's true? What if it's true what he told us at the Last Supper a few nights ago? What if it's true this being alive, I didn't understand it at the time? What if it's true after I've denied him, after I've betrayed him, after I have let him down? What if it's true? What place is there for me? And I'm wondering with each step if those feet aren't getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Now, I never had this experience with mom and dad, but my brother sure did. They'd have to take the scenic route home. You know, they had trouble following some of the rules. Well, it's hard to believe they didn't follow the example of the oldest, who's before you because his parents put him in a box and sent him to the seminary and said, church, he's yours. We've done all we can. But the scenic route home, we know we've done something that wasn't the best version of ourselves. We know it. It's stewing. It's stirring. It's troubling. And we're kind of taking our time. And eventually we're going to arrive at where we need to be. I mean, I find this a powerful description of my own daily experience. That light and darkness. Early in the morning, still dark. My brothers and sisters, that's me. I want it to be more light than dark for sure. And I need your help for that to take place, because sometimes it just feels so really dark and seems so really dark that life can be overwhelming and discouraging. And it can feel like the dead end that it did for Mary Magdalene. There might be some here present feeling that. And I'm telling you, the bold proclamation is the reality that he is risen, that there is no force, however tyrannical, however fierce, however ferocious, that can begin to approximate the love of Christ made real for us through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together and with confidence present these special prayers and petitions to Almighty God.